longtime friend of the program and a guy that we need to get back out to Salt Lake City one of these days for some football. That's Pat Forty. How are you, Pat?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing okay. How's the summer treated you? I've seen that you've made the swimming rounds. The 40 children are still competitive swimmers all over the country and the world.
They are. As a matter of fact, I am right now in Long Island, New York, getting ready for the U.S. Open swim meet. Middle child is going to be competing here this week. So, yep, I've been to plenty of pools, and I'll be to more as we go along.
Are you like my mom and dad back in the day? They used to have the stopwatches to time at all those AAU events. Were you a stopwatch dad, too?
I was until I got to the level where the meets are all taken care of. They take care of that for you, and there's quality scoreboards and timekeeping and all that sort of thing. So I don't have to do it anymore myself. It's good.
Yeah, that was back in the day. Yeah, I know that they're not doing that hand timing anymore. Do you double dip with any of that stuff, or is this purely you're rooting it on and your dad, or are you doing any riding at these things too?
Yeah, you know, I did a couple of things from the American Championships, Ryan Murphy story, Kate Ledecky story, and here Ryan Lochte comes off of suspension, and this is his first meet back after the infamous Rio episode last year, so I might get a story out of that as well.
How has he been embraced post-Rio by the swimming community? I mean, he was kind of a pariah for a year or so there and kind of ostracized, at least by the sports community. How's the swimming community received Lochte?
Well, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see if he gets applause or not. I think a lot of swimmers were pretty mad at him last year because they felt like he kind of threw some egg on one of the great Olympic performances that the United States has ever had. And I mean, a lot of unbelievable swims and meets from, Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, Lily King, Maya Dorado that ended up being overshadowed by Ryan Lochte's night out. And so I think there was some anger with him over that. We'll see if that subsided. He did pay a pretty significant price, 10-month suspension. Didn't have a chance to be on the world championship team this year, dropped by sponsors. So we'll see if bygones are bygones or if there's still some residual, some lingering resentment there.
Little did you listeners know you would get your dose of swim conversation as well as college football with Pat Forty today here on the Bill Riley Show. One last question, because you know this much better than I just don't follow it like I used to outside the Olympics. Is Ledecky to women's swimming what Phelps was to men's swimming, or is she not quite that dominant?
Well, she's not quite as versatile as Phelps was. She's probably more dominant in her best events than he was. Her records, she's got like the top 10 times of all time in the 400, 800, and 1500, I believe, freestyles all to herself. So, she's in her events that are her best events, she's better than Phelps probably was, but she's just not quite as well-rounded. But she's so dominant when she lost the 200 Freestyle World Championships, it was like UConn women's basketball losing a game. I mean, it's much bigger news when she loses than when she wins.
Pat Forty's our guest here on the Bill Riley Show. Now we shift from the pool to the field. I think you might have been first in on it, the Hugh Freeze story. Was that the story of the offseason in college football as we head into the season now, Pat?
I would say so, and kind of still lingering and repercussions still out there. Amazing the way this whole thing twisted and turned, and for him to be out like this, the combination of the off the field personal stuff with him and the ongoing NCAA investigation of the school, they have taken some blows and self-inflicted blows really at Ole Miss. And, we'll see how the program ends up coming out of this. I'd be very surprised though, if there aren't major sanctions ahead for them. And probably major sanctions for Hugh Freeze, in addition to losing his job and all the personal trauma he's been through.
So show cause stuff for Freeze. Nobody of any real ilk would take that job till sanctions clear, right?
I wouldn't think so. That's why I think that, and that sanctions may not come down until November, December. It'll probably time out pretty well in terms of the hiring cycle. But you're absolutely right that it's going to be wait and see for any job candidates, I think, but to find out exactly how hard that school's going to be hit.
Could that be good for that kid that's the coordinator there that's stepping into the head coaching job? Would he have a chance to maybe prove himself and maybe win that job after a couple of years?
I think so. I mean, certainly he's going to have, the chance to coach this full season. It's not like they're going to decide, it's not like Chip Kelly's going to decide in October, hey, I'm interested in Ole Miss, because he's going to wait and see what the sanctions are. So yeah. He's going to get every right and every opportunity to coach 12 games and see what he can do with that program. And he is a well-regarded assistant coach. He was very much in demand at other SEC programs, decided to stay there because they told him, hey, if something gets sideways with Hugh, you're our fallback guy. And now, lo and behold, he has the job, Matt Luke.
Pat Forte, for a few more minutes here on the Bill Riley Show. Not your Heisman front runner, but as I stand here today and you stand here today, a month from the start of the season, who's the best player in college football?
Ooh, that's a good question. Boy, you know, I go back to the way Bo Scarborough looked before he broke his leg for Alabama in the championship game, the way he played in the playoff, the way he played in the SEC championship game. He's awfully, awfully good. I am intrigued by Orlando Brown, the left tackle, 6'8", 340 something for Oklahoma. You know, he's going to be a top five pick for sure. And then I think the quarterbacks are just fascinating out there. You know, Rosen, Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, the kid at Wyoming. It's a really, really interesting year for quarterbacks as well.
The Pac-12 might be, you know, they call it the Conference of Champions, or at least Bill Walton does over and over again. But I don't know if any conference top to bottom has a better, especially top five or six at the quarterback position, probably led by Darnold in the Pac-12.
Yeah, conference looks great in that area. I mean, heck, I named off those two, Darnold and Rosen. I didn't even bring up Jake Browning. There's several others out there. Yeah, so it is really a good league from that standpoint. I think it's going to be a fun league to watch. We'll see if USC can handle the expectations this year. See if Josh Rosen can save Jim Mora's job. You know, there's going to be a lot going on, I think, in the Pac-12 this season.
I think so, too. I determined when we were doing the show from Pac-12 Media Days in L.A. last week, there may not be any cooler position to be in all of college football than the starting quarterback at SC. Sam Darnold was taking selfies with cops and waiters and waitresses. Anybody and everybody that was at the Lowe's Hollywood Hotel was asking Sam Darnold. And I'm convinced that SC just has somebody in central casting that they dial up that looks like a quarterback, because Barkley was that guy, Leinart was that guy, and Darnold looks like he's the next guy in that line. But I will say this, much more humble and down to earth than some of those other guys. Not that they were bad guys, but this kid just kind of carries himself a little bit different, but he looks like the SC quarterback.
Totally agree with you, Bill. I mean, he does have that look. He's kind of a beach dude, very kind of laid back, mellow. I talked to him for a while at the Manning Passing Academy back in June, and I'm actually going to head out and talk to him some more in a couple of weeks. But yeah, he's not full of himself by any stretch. You know, I mean, I don't get the sense that he has that I'm the USC quarterback, I'm better than you sort of attitude at all. And I think he's fun to watch because he's kind of got a little freelance sandlot to his game. You know, he drops back and then he's going to tuck the ball and scramble around, and then, oh, he's going to find somebody else 30 yards, you know, away from his intended target and just sling it to him. So, you know, he's a very entertaining type of player. And it is funny the way things twist and turn. I mean, everybody was talking coming out of high school and after 1 year about Josh Rosen, yep, as the quarterback in the Pac-12, as the quarterback in Southern California. And now, lo and behold, Sam Darnold may be stealing his thunder.
Absolutely. Pat, who's the bigger dog right now in the Big Ten? Is it Khakis or the Pope Urban? Which one of those guys is ruling the roost right now, and who do you expect to have the better year?
Yeah, I think you got to go with Urban until Khaki Man can beat him. He was 0-2 against him, and this year, you know, they're replacing I think 17 starters at Michigan, and I think over 40 seniors on that team. So a lot of transition. Now, he's recruited incredibly well, so they're going to put talented players in there, but they're not going to be experienced players. Ohio State, on the other hand, should have a very experienced and talented team. So I think that the advantage goes to Urban. Made the playoff last year, suffered a really embarrassing loss to Clemson, first shutout loss of his career, but I still think that it's Urban Meyer's league for now, and we'll see if Jim Harbaugh or James Franklin can do something about it.
How big is that FSU-Alabama game week one?
Woo, huge, huge. I mean, they really could be 1-2 going in. Both look great on paper. Both have won national championships within the last 4 or 5 years. It will be a big-time game for a season opener and a neutral site game. You know, Alabama, I give Alabama credit for playing a lot of quality teams in these season openers, but they've never played a quality name that was also on top of its game. This year, they will. Florida State is loaded, and it really should be a great game.
Who's the team right now that we're not talking a lot about that we might be talking a whole lot more about in November?
I like Oklahoma State. You know, the coaching turnover there with Bob Stoops stepping down. Mike Gundy, of all people, now is like the boss of the league. Might have his best team in 13 years in Stillwater. You know, crazy guy. He's got the mullet. He goes rattlesnake hunting. He's kind of prickly. He's a strange dude. But he's got a really good quarterback in Mason Rudolph. He might have the best receiver in the country in James Washington. They've got a 1,000-yard running back. If they plug some holes on defense, and I guess you only have to play so much defense in the Big 12, but if they do that, I think they can win that league. I'm pretty sure Oklahoma comes to Stillwater, so that should be the big showdown game, and it's on their home field. So I say watch out for the Cowboys.
You mentioned SC in the Pac-12 South. They were picked unanimously just about to win it. Utah was picked second, UCLA third, Colorado fourth. I flip-flopped my ballot. I had Colorado third and then UCLA fourth. What do you make of Kyle Whittingham's team? He's bringing in a guy that really likes to throw it, Troy Taylor, who lit it up. He was Jake Browning's high school quarterback coach and head coach at Folsom High School, quarterback to Cal back in the day. Eastern Washington threw for 55 million yards last year. So everybody's talked about it. Defense, special teams, running game, never an issue at Utah, but they feel like they've got the guy that could dial up the pass game. What do you make of Kyle's team?
Yep, I think that was one of the most important and potentially profitable hires anybody made in the whole country this last offseason. I am a Troy Taylor fan. I know the work he had done with Browning, and obviously they had it really rolling at Eastern Washington offensively. So, yeah, you add that little jolt of creativity and high-octane passing game to all the strengths that are already there with Utah, and I think it really does set up well for them. I can see picking them second, absolutely, in the South behind USC. You know, I know they had the injury to the safety that I believe was their leading returning tackler, so that's a tough one. But, I guess they're pretty quiet about what the extent of that is, how long he may be out.
They expect him back by the opener, they think.
Okay, well, if that's the case, that's good. Then you know, that's a pretty key part right there. So, yeah, I'll be very interested to watch the Utes. And, you know, that's one of those first game I'll be tuning in just to see how different the offense looks and maybe try to see if you can interpret how it's going to be for the rest of the season when they get into Pac-12 play.
That's assuming you have the Pac-12 network in Louisville, Kentucky. If not, you may be waiting till week two when they play the other team in the state, BYU. Where's BYU sit for you in the big picture landscape? Kalani's a great guy. We love him. He's down there. He's a BYU guy. But where does BYU fit in the whole national landscape right now, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, it's still like they're trying to find their way. You know, the whole independent thing has been kind of a mixed bag. I can understand some of the benefits of it, but gosh, the scheduling stuff is just so difficult, I think, to do from that standpoint. I don't know how much it hurts them in recruiting. I know they certainly have a niche to recruit to and have done well over the years, but, you know, I just wonder from a mainstream standpoint, are there guys that don't necessarily have the LDS affiliation that are sitting out there saying, boy, I'd like to go play for BYU because, I mean, they're literally all over the map scheduling-wise. You know, and they've done well. Can they continue to do well? Can they do better? I don't know. You know, they played a ton of close games last year, had heart stoppers left and right. They've got Mangum back at quarterback. We'll see, you know, what else goes with him. But it's very much, I think, a to-be-determined this year and for the long haul with BYU.
Just to plant this seed in your head, if there is a game, maybe it's BYU, maybe it's UCLA later this year, maybe it's something else, but if you do get out here, when you're in Salt Lake City, as you like to type, there's now about 25 craft breweries. The craft brewery scene, Pat, has exploded here, so much to the point that every Thursday I have Beers with Bill on the air and have a different brewery in every week. So when you get out here, there are plenty of beers to be had in Salt Lake City.
That is quality living and quality radio. I'm impressed with that. And that's all the more motivation I need. I've got to find a game out there and get back out to Salt Lake. The last time I was there was Harbaugh's debut game at Michigan, and that was great. But if there's that many microbreweries out there. I need to get back that way.
All right, go get back to the swimming. It's great catching up with you. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, Pat.
All right, thank you, Bill.
All right, Pat Forty with us from Yahoo Sports.